мех у школі вчили усім допомагати. Я їду в Югославію голодних рятувати. Везу їм ковбаси і сиру, трошка масла, чотири банки шпротів, жеманця їх припасла. Їду, 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 ой, ду-ду-ду-ду-ду. Їду, їду, їду в Югославію. Їду, 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 ой, ду-ду-ду-ду-ду. Їду, їду, їду в Югославію. За тую ковбасу комп'ютер привезу, чотири банки шпротів міняю на Тойоту. Лишилось масло і сир, віддам, най буде мир. Не жаль мені провізії, священна моя місія. Їду, 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 ой, ду-ду-ду-ду-ду. Їду, їду, їду в Югославію. Їду, 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 ой, ду-ду-ду-ду-ду. Їду, їду, їду в Югославію. Наступнім році їду з візитом до Парижу. Везу їм мармуляду, чотири міхи рижу. Мене чекає Австрія, Японія, Уругвай. Бо я совєтський гражданин, всі просять, приїжджай. Їду, 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 ой, ду-ду-ду-ду-ду. Їду, їду, їду в Югославію. Їду, 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 ой, ду-ду-ду-ду-ду. Їду, їду, їду в Югославію.
And that was a tune hearkening back to the Soviet era, performed by somebody, it's probably not his real name, Lev Kodurko, and that song was Jedu Jugoslaviju, Going to Yugoslavia. Dobrý večer i vitaju vás všich, šanovni radio sluchači, na radio programu Náš holos Radio Krinského Korinja. Kotra podajati vam sjoni večeri, jak svečajno, o 6 hodini, što subote, na bahatomovni radio stanciji AM 1320 u misti Vancouveri. Pri mikrofoni Pavlina, djakuju što rišale prvutu zimnoju. Jakšto zaraz sidajte do večeri, bežaju vam smačnoho i znovu djakuju što rišale prvutu zimnoju nastupnu hodinu. Hello there, and welcome to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. I'm Pavlina, your host. Thank you so much for joining me, whether you're a first-time or a long-time listener. Vitayu. We've got a great program lined up for you today. We've got news from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine Today, Ukraine's English language news channel. As well, Viktor Sergeyev is back with another story, as told by, or narrated by, Serhiy Kaznady of Toronto. And it's Viktor's story about one of his many stories about growing up in the Soviet Union. And this one is about Americans coming to visit his city for the first time. So stay tuned for that. We've also got our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And we're going to continue on that little trip down memory lane. We've got the Bratseho Dukine, the Vipers brothers, coming up next. And another story about life in the former Soviet Union. Heza Baba, SS Saru.
Hey, Zabava, rock and roll, Dorada. Hey, Guljaj, Veseli, Štokar, Slosa. добре попрацює, добре ми збудуємо, нашим рідним ЗРСРу. Раз, два, три, холєра! Камила ще в ставку розпустила коси, до країн цілого світу дружбу всі відноси. Побратими дороги, сусіди поляки, наші дружні почуття із самого серця. Хей, забава, рок-н-рол до рана, ми і гуляй, веселись, то карсну сернечу рис. Добре попрацюєм, нове ми збудуєм, в нашим ріднім серед-серу. Раз, два, три, холєра, хей, забава, рок-н-рол до рана. Добре попрацюєм, новий ми збудуєм, в нашому рідному серед-серу.
Hi, I'm Vincent Rees from Edmonton's Cobblestone Freeway Cultural Tours with exciting news. Our 2015 tours are up and ready to go. Join us for a unique cultural tour. We have trips to Eastern Europe, including Western Ukraine, Hungary, and Croatia. Plus, we're going to Costa Rica, Brazil, and Argentina. So visit our website for photos and details. Cobblestone Freeway, we're in Edmonton and ready to go. So book today. Visit cobblestonefreeway.ca.
For the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can give a destitute family in Ukraine food, hope, and a better life. Please open your heart and share your good fortune. Sponsor a Ukrainian child today. Details at www.heart.ca. That's HART.ca.
Thanks to the foresight and generosity of its donors, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been investing in the future of the Ukrainian-Canadian community for over 50 years. Since 1963, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been funding initiatives that strengthen our Ukrainian-Canadian identity and enhance our Ukrainian-Canadian cultural heritage. These include fine and performing arts and arts groups, museums, cultural centers, education, as well as authors, journalists, and the Ukrainian-Canadian media, including this program. The foundation strives to become the premier not-for-profit foundation in a Canada which acknowledges the Ukrainian-Canadian community as a fundamental component of Canadian society. Nash Hollis listeners are encouraged to support this vision through continued donations into the future. To apply for grants, make a donation, or for more information, visit ShevchenkoFoundation.com.
from Lviv, Ukraine, that was Lubistok from their CD of traditional Ukrainian folk songs put out on the Air Mail music label. That was Vzhe Sonce Nazenko, Sunset. Up next is something brand new, recently making the rounds on YouTube and social media. This is a Ukrainian remake of a Metallica hit. It is performed on bandura and accordion. It is called Nothing Else Matters. Now the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's first international English news channel, Ukraine Today.
A day after British military personnel were deployed to train Ukrainian forces to fight Russian-backed militants, a new UK parliamentary report has shown that the state is still exporting weapons to Russia itself. A total of 248 export licenses to Russia, valued at just over £168 million, are still outstanding, the Committee of Arms Export Controls concluded. The deals include components for military helicopters, small arms ammunition, and software for secure communications. The report concluded that there was an inherent conflict between strongly promoting arms exports to authoritarian regimes whilst strongly criticising their lack of human rights at the same time. The investigation found that Britain had more than £5 billion worth of outstanding arms export licences in total for countries on the government's human rights concern list. Last year, British Prime Minister David Cameron was forced to defend the state arms sales to Russia after the same committee found only a fraction of licences had been suspended or revoked. A ban on the sale of military and dual-use items destined for units of the Russian armed forces and Russian state agencies was enforced in March 2014.
Crimean Tatar leader Mustafa Jamilov has said at a UN Security Council meeting on Thursday in New York that Russian repression started in Crimea because the authorities, quote, haven't found their Kadyrov there, referring to Chechen leader Ramzan Kadyrov. The Chechen leader is seen as a close ally of Vladimir Putin, having suppressed separatist uprisings in the Caucasus through his heavy-handed leadership. The UN meeting was boycotted by Russia, China, Venezuela, and Angola. Jamilov, who was invited to speak at the meeting on Thursday by Lithuanian representatives, is the spiritual leader of the minority Muslim community in Crimea. He was officially banned this year by Russian authorities from returning to the Black Sea Peninsula for 5 years. After Russia's illegal annexation of Crimea, between 10,000 and 15,000 Tatars fled the region.
Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan made his first official visit to Ukraine on Friday. He greeted Ukrainian troops before talks with Ukraine's President Petro Poroshenko. Poroshenko called Turkey a strategic partner and said Erdogan was a great friend to Ukraine, but also warned the Turkish leader against building the so-called Turkish Stream gas pipeline project spearheaded by Russia. Erdogan offered few assurances on that front, but did offer financial support to Ukraine in the form of a $50 million loan. I also thank President Erdogan for the decision to offer a loan of $50 million towards covering the budget deficit. Erdogan voiced his support for Ukraine's territorial integrity and made special mention of the Crimean Tatars. The Turkish people have close kinship bonds with the Muslim, Turkic-speaking Tatar minority in Crimea, the Black Sea Peninsula Moscow annexed from Ukraine a year ago. But Turkey has deepening trade ties with Russia and has been reluctant to openly criticize Moscow's actions in Ukraine. We have expressed our support for the territorial integrity, political union and sovereignty of Ukraine, including Crimea, in every platform. And we also wish that Ukraine further supports and takes care of the rights of all ethnic and religious groups, and first of all, Crimean Tatars who live on the territory of Ukraine. Amid an ongoing Russian-backed insurgency in Ukraine's eastern regions, President Poroshenko said Turkey had also offered $10 million of humanitarian assistance.
Lithuanian President Dalia Grybauskaitė is in the Ukrainian capital today to receive a prestigious award. The Lithuanian leader is being honored with Ukraine's Person of the Year award, given by the Ukrainian Higher Academic Council. Grybauskaitė is also scheduled to meet Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko and Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk. The Baltic country leader has been a strong supporter of Ukraine and its territorial integrity in the face of Russian aggression, calling for arming Ukraine, providing medical assistance to wounded Ukrainian soldiers, and pushing for Ukraine's full integration into the European Union.
The former EU Expansion Commissioner Stefan Füll has said that the EU must give Ukraine clear membership perspective as motivation to complete reforms during an interview with Deutsche Welle. According to Füll, the Ukrainian government is doing everything possible in the present circumstances to protect the state and carry out reforms in a year following the signing of the association agreement with the EU. The agreement is supposed to give Ukraine full access to the EU market and align Kyiv with Brussels through key reforms which aim to reduce corruption and improve the legal system. The European and Ukrainian Parliament simultaneously ratified the agreement last year on the 16th of September, bringing Ukraine closer to achieving economic direct ties with the EU and moving away from Russia's influence. The refusal of Ukraine's previous president, Viktor Yanukovych, to sign the agreement sparked months of protests on Kyiv's Independence Square. Those rallies eventually transformed into the massive anti-government movement that led to his ouster and which Russia used as a reason to get involved in Ukraine and has led to the conflict in the east of the country the Ukrainian government is currently facing.
Bulgarian President Rosen Plevneliev has announced that he will join other European leaders in choosing not to attend Victory Day celebrations in Moscow on May 9th. Each year, Russia holds large-scale celebrations marking victory over Nazi Germany in the Second World War. This year marks 70 years since Germany's defeat. Many Western leaders have declined an invitation to attend celebrations in Moscow, citing Russia's annexation of Crimea and military involvement in eastern Ukraine. Vladimir Putin last week lashed out at European and American leaders for announcing that they wouldn't attend. Their goal is clear: to undermine the power and moral authority of modern Russia, to deprive her of her status as a victorious country, with all the ensuing international and legal consequences, to split and pit the public against each other, to use historic speculation for geopolitical games. Sometimes it sounds like obvious nonsense. German Chancellor Angela Merkel confirmed earlier this month that she would not attend, nor will U.S. President Barack Obama or British Prime Minister David Cameron. The only EU heads of state that are expected to attend are the leaders of Slovakia and the Czech Republic.
The International Monetary Fund's official representative in Ukraine has predicted that the country could return to economic growth as soon as next year. Speaking to Ukrainian publication Novoye Vremya, IMF official Jerome Vacha said he expected the economic recovery to begin by the end of 2015, with the Ukrainian economy registering modest growth in 2016. In many ways, the engine of this growth will be investments. The Ukrainian economy has great potential. Ukraine has great human capital, and the situation is very favorable to develop export potential. If the reforms are carried out properly, especially in a business environment, we will see progress quickly. Earlier in March, the IMF confirmed a $17.5 billion loan agreement for Ukraine. The first $5 billion of this IMF financial package has already been distributed. An international donor conference is also planned in Kiev in the coming weeks, which aims to generate further funding as Ukraine seeks to reform its economy and develop trade ties with the EU.
The Ukrainian economy shrank by almost 15% in the fourth quarter of 2014, according to the country's State Statistics Authority. Russia's intervention in Ukraine has taken an especially heavy financial toll on the country as trade between Moscow and Kiev slowed. The economy contracted 6.8% overall last year. The figures do not take into account data from the Russian-occupied Ukrainian territory of Crimea and Sevastopol and part of the Donbass conflict zone. The International Monetary Fund forecasts that the Ukrainian economy will contract by 5.5% this year before returning to growth in 2016. However, the Washington-based lender has warned that efforts to restore financial stability face exceptionally high risks if fighting in the country's east resumes to previous levels. The IMF is among several international lenders who have stepped in to help Ukraine as the central bank fights soaring inflation, dwindling foreign currency reserves, and high capital flight.
Building work is continuing on the Great Wall of Ukraine, which is a massive fortification project designed to protect Ukraine's almost 2,000-kilometer land border with Russia. Construction is set to begin this week in the Kharkiv region, an area which neighbors the volatile Luhansk region, which is under partial occupation by Russian-backed militants. The wall, say Ukrainian officials, will enhance national security, improve the business climate, and bring Ukraine closer to NATO membership and EU integration. The Border Guard Service of Ukraine says the government will allocate over $1 million for the first part of the project by the end of March. The first phase of the plan to equip the Ukrainian-Russian border and the administrative boundary of temporarily occupied Crimea will begin in those areas that are now under our control. That includes the Kharkiv, Sumy, Chernihiv, and Luhansk regions. Ukrainian Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk claimed the fortifications would serve as Europe's de facto eastern boundary, while also helping Ukraine reassure its European partners that it's in full control of its borders. March 20th was UN's International Day of Happiness. But here, in the Ukrainian town of Shastya, a name which literally translates into English as happiness, joy is in short supply. The town, which has been caught up in fighting between Russian-backed militants and Ukrainian forces, had a population of more than 10,000 people before the conflict began last year. Now it's mostly destroyed and abandoned. The few residents who remain were hardly in the mood to celebrate the UN-sponsored holiday. In fact, finding anyone at all can be difficult. One children's playground was populated only by stray puppies. The majority of the town's population is now made up of Ukrainian soldiers. On March 20th, they talked about the happy times in their lives. One soldier recalled the births of his four children. At a local school, meanwhile, the handful of students who still attend classes say that they're just happy to be alive. I'm alive and I'm happy and everything's all right. For me, happiness is my family and that they're alive and well. Happiness is when nobody is shooting. A year ago, I didn't think that. I thought everything would be okay. The few people remaining in a town are employed at a local factory. One of the workers said he lost his wife a few months earlier. I lost everything, my wife, my home, and even my job. I came here, but they shelled everything. War is everywhere. What is happiness? He says his chance at happiness has been lost, but for his children, there's still hope. Information Policy Minister Yuri Stets has announced that Poland has provided Ukraine with TV transmitters, which will allow the Ukrainian authorities to restart broadcasts of three Ukrainian language channels in the occupied east of the country. According to a report by Ukrainian news agency TSN, the three Ukrainian channels to be beamed into the occupied regions will be Channel 5, Espresso TV, and Around the Clock News Channel 24. Ukrainian media has been largely excluded from the occupied east of the country since it fell under the control of Russian-backed militants in mid-2014. Kremlin proxies prioritized control of the information sphere, often raiding broadcast centers in order to take Ukrainian channels off the air and replace them with Russian channels. The Kremlin stands accused of using the tightly controlled Russian media in order to wage an information war against Ukraine. The Kremlin media is seen by many analysts as a crucial component in the hybrid war tactics employed by Vladimir Putin in Ukraine. The Ukrainian authorities have responded to this information offensive by banning a range of Russian TV channels, sparking alarm from the European free speech watchdogs. OSCE media chief Dunya Mijatovic told the Kyiv Post this week that Ukraine must be careful to find the balance between free speech and countering Russian propaganda.
Dynamo Kyiv thrashed English football club Everton 5-2 in the Ukrainian capital on Thursday night, sending Dynamo on to the Europa League quarterfinals. Kyiv overturned a 2-1 first-leg deficit to beat the Premier League side 6-4 on aggregate. Of course, we have won a major game. It was evident that the boys were playing with enthusiasm because we had a full stadium, because people came to support them. Millions were watching the game on TV. Nobody was indifferent today. I'm glad that the boys made a holiday today for themselves and for all the people, especially in such complicated times for Ukraine. They brought joy to the people. Big thank you to them for this. The stadium in downtown Kyiv was a sellout, and after Dynamo went up 2-1, there was no looking back.
I think Dynamo built a lot of momentum with their home crowd, and they were very, very confident, and everything that they hit ended up in the back of the net rather than us just being to blame and at the end of not being able to defend a little bit better.
Dynamo Kyiv's win launches them into the Europa League quarterfinals, along with fellow Ukrainian club Dnipro, who beat Ajax from the Netherlands on aggregate. Saved from shelling and hunger, cats have been rescued from Ukraine's eastern regions currently occupied by Russian-backed militants. Their savior, Valentina Prokopchuk, who collected 46 cats from the streets of the occupied Luhansk region and brought them to a village near the capital, Kyiv. Valentina talks about why she decided to flee the conflict zone. The mail stopped working, the banks closed. There were times when I just made flour paste. I added some water to the flour, but the cats didn't want to eat that. I even had to feed some of them with a syringe. To transport the abandoned felines from the eastern region, Valentina paid a driver 7,000 hryvnia, nearly double the average Ukrainian monthly salary. After she had collected a few cats while still in the conflict zone, others started to come to her on their own. A cat came to my door and asked me to let him in, as if he knew that we would be able to protect him.
The owners probably just left him. They might think he is waiting for them somewhere. And he is here in Ukraine. He lives near Kyiv. Now these cats, along with Valentina, are living in a private home away from the fighting. Her dream is for each of these four-legged creatures to find a good home. But for now, she'll do all she can to make sure they have plenty of food and lots of love.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup. For more breaking stories on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog at uatoday.tv.
Ви слухайте українську радіопрограму «Наш голос» на багатомовній радіостанції AM 1320 CHMB у місті Ванкувері.
Я без тебе всіх дні у полоні печалі. Може, десь у лісах ти чарзілля шукала, сонце руду знайшла і мене зчарувала. Червону руду не шукала.
Почав займатися з 5 років. Спочатку вчився на скрипці, потім на фортепіано. Коли я чув народну пісню, щось мене хвилювало.
Toronto, Ontario, that was Dunai with Червона Рута, the Red Rue, and that is their most recent release, and it was just released a couple of weeks ago, as part of their new album that they are producing. It's a digital album, and they're releasing it one song at a time on social media, and we're having Alex Veshak with Dunai come on with every song onto our Nanaimo edition of Nash Holos and tell us the story behind the song. So this last song released a couple of weeks ago, Alex told us all about it on the March 11th edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. So do check out the podcast. You can find the link at www.nashholos.com. Again, that was Dunai and Chervona Ruta. And now that is a song that was written back in the 1970s by Volodymyr Ivasyuk, and listeners to Nash Holos probably know the story very well, a very popular and beloved composer who was murdered by the KGB quite brutally for probably being a little bit subversive with his music, which was much beloved in throughout Ukraine and between the lines told the story of Soviet oppression. And he ended up being, his body was found in a park hanging from a tree, badly mutilated, bones broken, branches stuck in his wounds, and was deemed a suicide. His funeral attracted so many people that the Soviets were authorities were unable to stop it, and probably marked the turning point of the demise of the Soviet Union. There were many other things that brought down the Soviet Union, amongst them a great sense of humor. Many jokes were made. Again, they were pretty biting, and recent ones, since things seem to be, some people anyways want to turn back the clock and bring back those wonderful times. There are jokes from the Soviet era style jokes circulating. I wanted to share one with you. Vladimir Putin wanting to get on the good side of voters visits a school in Moscow to have a chat with the children. He tells them that Russia is a powerful nation and that he wants the best for his people. At the end of the talk, a little Alina raises her hand and says, "I have two questions. Why did the Russians take Crimea? And why are we sending troops to Ukraine?" "Good question," Putin responds, but at that moment, the bell rings, and the kids go to lunch. When they return, there is time for more questions. Another girl, Tatiana, raises her hand and says, "I have four questions. My questions are, why did the Russians invade Crimea? Why are we sending troops to Ukraine? Why did the bell ring 20 minutes early? And where is Alina?"
Welcome to Victor's Vignettes, stories about life in Soviet and post-Soviet Ukraine by Viktor Sergeyev of Mykolaiv, Ukraine. I am Serhii Kaznagy in Toronto. The year was 1991. Two young men from the University of Jerusalem arrived in Mykolaiv. They were both Orthodox Jews with traditional black beards and black hats, and to my knowledge, the first Americans to come to our city. They came with a mission to attend the reopening of a synagogue that had existed in our city before World War II. I met them through my friend Igor. Igor is Jewish, and some of his family had immigrated to San Diego, California. Igor knew how much I loved to speak English whenever the opportunity presented itself. One lucky day, Igor said to me, "Come to our newly created Jewish children's summer camp, and you will be able to converse with Americans." The reopening of the synagogue was a great event for Mykolaiv Jews, the few who did not take part in the great exodus of Jews leaving Ukraine for Israel. Some preferred to remain in our city and restore at least some of what together the Nazis and Soviets destroyed, such as this synagogue. But our two young visitors knew very little about it, so they turned to me, a native of the city, for help. They said to me, "It's located somewhere at Moskovskaya Street. We do not know the address exactly. Can you ask the old people? Possibly they can still remember the place." Well, I was young at that time, so I asked my mother if she knew anyone who could help my friends. She also knew about my love of speaking English, so she asked around on my behalf. Finally, she located an old Jewish woman. I asked her, "Do you know location of the synagogue that was in Mykolaiv before the war?" She said, "We had 6 synagogues in Mykolaiv. Which one do you mean?" I said, "The one that will be reopened soon. Don't you know which one is that?" She said, "Do you know the ancient monumental building that was the Soviet Medical Workers Club? That building was the synagogue." And so our visiting Americans finally found what they had come for. As it turned out, only one was actually an American. His name was Beryl, the other was named Israel, and he was from Israel. Beryl was very approachable and friendly. So my friend Gennady and I invited him over for dinner. It was a bit of a challenge. He asked for kosher food and absolutely new glasses for drinking. He explained how we could provide a kosher meal, eggs and vegetables and no meat at all. Of course, we knew nothing about kosher food. For that matter, we had not even heard this word before. So we called what we made for him pseudo-kosher food. Many of our local traditions made him wonder, for example, fish and beer. He found the combination odd, which surprised me. Personally, I think fish and beer is a good and natural combination, and it's actually kosher, or at least pseudo-kosher. But I guess for our Jewish American friend, it was a matter of personal preference. Gennady and I had the great pleasure of speaking only English all evening long. It was such a rare treat to meet foreigners in our city. In Soviet times, Mykolaiv was closed to foreigners for military purposes. Today, the internet has opened up the world, but the world was a very different place in 1991. Beryl told us about his life in America. He had been a young street gangster in New York. Then he found religion, and his life changed dramatically. His words reminded me of the stories I heard told by various religious missionaries who came to our city. I attended a few of their meetings, not because I was interested in religion, but because I wanted to speak English. As it turned out, the missionaries were from all over the world: Mexicans, Gypsies, Indians, Koreans, and others. So much for speaking English. I did tell them, though, that if they wanted a receptive audience for a message strong on religion and weak in English, they should find another place for their mission. I told Beryl this story. It made him smile, and he said, "Let us not talk of religion at all. There are many other things to speak about." And so there we were. We spoke about various other aspects of life and discovered that our lives differed dramatically. I saw Beryl only once since that evening. He ended up becoming the head of the synagogue. Many years later, someone, I don't remember who, told me that he died in a traffic accident. I still remember with fondness August of 1991. It was a momentous month. My darling daughter Julia was born. It so happened that the night we dined with Beryl, my wife was 8 months pregnant. And that month, August of 1991, Ukraine became an independent country. I am Serhii Kaznady in Toronto, Canada. I hope you enjoyed this edition of Victor's Vignettes, stories from the life of Viktor Sergeyev in Mykolaiv, Ukraine. You can find Viktor's original transcripts and commentary at his blog, Vignettes, Life in Ukraine. For audio archives and links, visit www.nashholos.com. So until next time, до побачення!
My name is Hello, how are you? Is this he taken, you may ask, of the traveler in third class? Ich bin ein Reisener, dritte Klasse. Mein Name ist Sholem Alechem. Sagen Sie, frequent mir, dem Reisener dritte Klasse. The things I've seen and in between 11 months of the year on the road with you, my dear. Girls in white, men in black, dogs and cats, brass and tack, golden teeth, crooked track. I better take the train right back. My name is Hello, how are you? Is this seat taken, you may ask, of the traveler in third class? Ich bin ein Reisener, dritte Klass. Mein Name ist Sholem Alechem. Sagen Sie, der fragt mit mir, dem Reisener dritte Klass. Through fields of grain, in snow and rain, 11 months of the year, in the train across Ukraine. Girls in black, men in white, children yell, women fight, golden dreams, dimming light. Then I take the train all night. My name is Sholem Alechem. Is this he taken? You may ask of the traveler in third class. Ich bin ein Reisener, dritte Klasse. Mein Name ist Hello, how are you? Sanja, der fragt mit mir, dem Reisener dritte Klasse. The things I've seen and in between 11 months of the year on the road with you, my dear. Through fields of grain and snow and rain, 11 months of the year in the train across Ukraine. In the train across Ukraine, in the train across Ukraine.
And a very popular klezmer group from New York City, that was Golem with Train Across Ukraine. Up next is a Montreal man who is very well known in the local community for the great music that he produces, still in his still producing it in his 80s. Here he is with a recording of Taras Shevchenko poetry in song with the classic Zapovit, Volodymyr Mota. Ревучий
Coming up this week in Vancouver's Ukrainian community.
On Wednesdays, catch Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio broadcasting live from Nanaimo to North and Central Vancouver Island, the Gulf Islands, the Sunshine Coast, Northwest Washington State, and in the Greater Vancouver listening area. Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY Radio Malaspina, 101.7 FM on the radio dial, and streaming online at chly.ca. On Friday, enjoy a pierogi supper at St. Mary's Ukrainian Orthodox Center, 13512 108th Avenue, just off King George Boulevard in Surrey. Doors are open from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. For more information, call 604-531-1923 or visit their website, www.uocstmarysurrey.com. Channel 8 Omni airs two Ukrainian language TV shows in the Vancouver viewing area. Kontakt TV Sundays at 7 a.m. with repeats Tuesdays at 9 a.m. and Thursdays at 7 a.m. And Forum TV Sundays at 8 a.m. with repeats on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 12 noon. And at 6 p.m. on Saturday evenings, flip your radio dial right back here to AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver or catch the live stream at am1320.com. And join me for another hour of fun on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. In between broadcasts, make sure to follow Nash Holos and me on Facebook and Twitter. And for audio archives, transcripts, podcast feeds, and more, visit our website at www.nashholos.com. Ну, ми вже скінчили нашу програму. Пора нам прощатися на ще один тиждень, бо вже час додому, і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Легко гроші позичати, але тяжко віддавати. And our proverb of the week translates as, it is easier to borrow money than to return it. And don't we all know that all too well? Well, that just about wraps it up for another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To take us home, we've got the Canadian Rhythm Masters and St. Andrew's Polka, and that's going out to my sister Marilyn and my nephews Riley, Kyle, and Matthew, who grew up there, and, of course, my brother-in-law Sheldon. Enjoy. I'm Pavlina on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and AM 1320. Thanks for listening, and dobranoc!